Psalm 34, a psalm of David. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together.
I sought the Lord in your name, and delivered me from all my fears.
They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed.
This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all troubles.
The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear Him and delivers them. O fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want in those who fear Him.
The young lions cry and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing.
Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry.
The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, and cut off the remembrance of them from the earth.
The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles.
The Lord hears those who have broken their heart, and saves such as have contrite spirit.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Evil shall slay the wicked, but those who hate the righteous shall be condemned.
The Lord redeems the soul of His servants, and none of those who trust in Him shall be condemned.
Amen. Okay, here in Psalm 34, we have the third so far in a series of psalms that almost turn the view away from Jesus. As you know from listening, I hope, through most of the psalms so far, most of you, I've really made an emphasis on how the Psalms don't speak about David so much. They speak about Jesus Christ, and Jesus Himself says that. But Psalm 32, Psalm 33, and now Psalm 34 are Psalms that are about Jesus in His people. They're about our God and how He deals with His people, but it's more from the perspective of the people than most of the Psalms. Now, never fear, of course, Jesus is mentioned here, and we will be singing about Him. But that's the thrust of this is the people of God, in this case, David primarily, but the people of God, looking at what He does and what He has done. Now, it begins, I will bless the Lord, or Jehovah, you see the Lord in all types, Yahweh, the covenant name of God. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Now in that first paragraph, that first section of the psalm, I want you to see we have a responsibility. As children of the covenant, we have things that we need to do. We have things that we should want to do. We have things we should delight in doing. And that is blessing and praising the name of God for what He's done for us. At all times. Now, that doesn't mean every minute of every day, but in everything that we do and in all parts of our lives, we should be blessing the Lord, which means a couple things. We should be remembering Him. We should know that we are with Him in all things that we do at all times of our life. And our soul shall make its boast in the Lord. We shouldn't be proud of ourselves or what we have done or imagine that we are the ones who brought us our own salvation. It's the humble in heart, who will be glad when they hear our word, when we praise God's name and not ourselves. Now, in verse 3, there's another particular point I want to make. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. When is it that the saints of Christ, the people of God, can do this? When is it that as God's word commands us here, we gather together to magnify the name of Jehovah, of Yahweh, and exalt His name together? It's not enough to do it alone. Even a life of solitary monastic worship where you're continually meditating and on God and reading His Word and all that is still lacking something very, very important. And that is the command here to gather together so that the family of God can be together to praise and worship God. And I do believe Phil may have a few more words on that later today. Now the next section, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried out. The Lord heard him and saved him of all his troubles. Now, those of us who have had troubles, those of us who understand troubles properly, that it's not pain or physical fear or anything like that, spiritual troubles are troubles that really matter. And even the ones that maybe don't. We know that when you seek the Lord, He will hear you and deliver you from these. Not necessarily from the way you think. Notice it doesn't say delivered me from all my problems, but delivered me from all my fears. I was just thinking of this yesterday. I can't remember exactly the context. But thinking that fear is what happens when you don't know. Fear is what you have when you don't know what's going to happen. When you think it could be good or bad, and so you're worried about the outcome. When you seek the Lord and you know His Word, you know. You may not know the details, but you know it's going to be good for you. You know it's going to be honoring to God. You know it's going to be good and fit God's plans. So the fear can go away then. This goes from I sought and He heard me to they looked and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. And we see here the blessing of God on His people. Now the idea of a face that's radiant should make you think of Moses. Here we have one, and we have not just one. Here we have this same blessing of the image of God in all the believers, so that their faces shine, figuratively in this case. But we can all shine with that glow that Moses had when he was being a prophet of God. Their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. Now the angel of the Lord that we see in the Old Testament, for those of you who aren't clear on this concept, is always, near as I can tell, what's known as a theophany. An appearance of Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate, but with a body on the earth as a particular messenger of the Father. And we see this when He comes to Abraham, because the people, Abraham worships Him, and it's accepted. We see it in the garden when the Lord walked with Adam, but we know that no man has seen the Father and lived. We know that the angel of the Lord is the one who was in the glory cloud, and He bore the name of Jehovah. And we know that that's Jesus. And here we know that it's not just at the temple. It's not just at the gates of Zion. But the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. So we can know, we can be confident, and we can sing in praise of the fact that Jesus is with us and surrounds us and protects us. Now with all those thoughts in mind, what do we do about it? Well, we taste and see and know that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Fear the Lord, you saints. That word does mean fear, by the way. When you know one is great and mighty and worthy of all honor and praise, there is to be some fear there. Fear the Lord, you saints. There's no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. We have what we need. We have what's good. And when we complain about that, it's because we don't know why it's good for us. Just as a child sometimes is disciplined by her mother, so that in her life there will be good brought from it, but at the moment it's not pleasant, God does the same for us. Now come, you children, and listen to me. Now this is kind of a condescending tone. And when we think of David caught in the midst of sin, taking these words upon his lips to other people, other believers, we might think it's somewhat arrogant. But remember, these are God's words to His people, His children. Us, all of us. And I will teach you to fear the Lord. Now, what is it to fear the Lord? It's not to cringe, it's not to hide, and it's not to try to get away from His view. Adam and Eve tried that, and it didn't work. And people try it today. And we read about that in the first part of the book of Romans, of course. But to fear the Lord is to know God, to desire life, and the man who does desire life and loves many days, what should he do? Keep your tongue from evil, keep your lips from speaking deceit, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The fear of the Lord is the fear to do evil. The fear of the Lord is not trying to stay away from the person of the Father. It's not being afraid of coming into the presence of the Father. But the fear of the Lord is the fear of doing evil in His sight. Now, this love and fear are not not mutually exclusive. Just as we felt the same way about our parents, I hope, if we were godly children or even close, you can love yet fear. And this is how we are to view the Father. And all we have to do is very simple things. It's to just keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And those are all the things we want anyway, isn't it? Aren't they? Now, the eyes of the Lord, remember why we're supposed to fear Him, because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. But His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, this is bad enough on the face of it, isn't it? The Lord's face is against those who do evil. But remember, this is the reverse of that great Aaronic blessing, the blessing of the priests. The Lord's face is not going to shine upon them because the Lord's face is against them. And why? To cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Now, we see Christians die young sometimes in persecution or in other ways, and we think, how can God do that? It's because we're taking the short view. We'll be back in the new heavens and the new earth, and we will inhabit it. And the people of God, they're not only their names, but their persons will live forever. But here we see that the remembrance of the ones who do evil will be cut off from the earth. Even if they live to be 100, God's people will live throughout eternity. And the psalm finishes then, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them from out of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and such as have a contrite spirit. This is a broken heart toward God, one that is broken of its pride, not a broken heart because we lost a girlfriend or whatever. This is one who is humbled before the Lord. A contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Remember I told you, God doesn't say He'll get rid of your troubles. He said He'll get rid of your fears. But the Lord delivers them out of them all. He guards all His bones and not one of them is broken. Here in verse 20 we have a looking forward, a minor slight prophecy, if you will, toward the person of Jesus Christ. The psalm speaks of the righteous man in general, but here we have just kind of a little point that it's in Jesus that all these things happen. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked. Or as the English saying is, they'll be hoist with their own petard. And those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the souls of His servants, and none of those who trust in Him shall be condemned. It's the angel of the Lord, the embodiment of the covenant, that all these blessings come from. When we see that the Father loves His children, it's because Jesus, the Messiah, has died on their behalf. It's because salvation, it comes in the person of the Lamb of God. Sin deserves death. And we see in here that the righteous are normally righteous, but they do need to be reminded to get back away from sin. Logically, we can then see that as the righteous do sin, they are no longer truly righteous in and of themselves. And that goes for every single person in this building. Every single person that has ever lived except for Jesus. But it's in His person that we do have righteousness. It's in His person we have mercy. All of these blessings come through Jesus. And once a week, all of God's people are called together to come together, to rehearse those, to meditate upon those, to pray over those, but ultimately to join together in praise of the God who saved us, the God who protects us, the God who created us, and provides for us. And in order to do all those things, here we are. So let's do this by singing Psalm 34, and we'll sing part D.